Okay, let's unpack this. Today we're doing a deep dive into something that, well, affects pretty much everyone who owns a car. End-of-life vehicle recycling. Right here in the USA.
Yeah, and we've got some really interesting insights from an industry presentation that kind of lays out the whole picture.
So where do we start? The scale of it, maybe? Right. How many cars are we talking about?
Right, you have to grasp the scale first. It's enormous. The source says in 2023, just under 289 million registered light-duty vehicles.
Wow. 288,759,000. That's almost 300 million cars and trucks. Just mind-boggling.
Exactly. And they're not exactly new.
No, I bet not. What's the average age these days?
It's been creeping up 12.6 years in 2023.
12 and a half years old on average.
Yeah. And mostly gasoline, obviously over 242 million. But, you know, hybrids are growing, 7.4 million.
Okay. And EVs, electric vehicles?
Well, they hit 3.5 million in 2023. The estimate is they'll be closer to 5.4 million by the end of this year, 2024.
So a huge fleet getting older with more complex tech mixed in. What happens when they finally reach the end of the road?
That's where the auto recyclers step in. The source we looked at highlights about 12 million vehicles get recycled every year in the U.S.
12 million? Every single year. That's a massive number to process.
It really is.
And how efficient is that process? I mean, how much of a car actually gets recycled or reused?
This is where it gets pretty impressive, actually. Maybe counterintuitive. On average, 86% of a vehicle's material gets recycled, reused, or used for energy recovery.
86%? Yeah. Seriously?
Yep. Over 85% avoiding the landfill.
That's way higher than I would guess. That takes some serious infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
What's the network look like?
Oh, it's a huge established industry. Estimates are around 10,000 auto recyclers nationwide.
10,000.
And they have an official trade group, the ARA Automotive Recyclers Association, founded way back in 1943.
Wow, 1943. So they've been around a while.
They have. They represent over 1,000 members globally, about 781 here in the U.S.
Okay, so huge, organized, high recycling rates. What are the big pressure-shaping things right now?
Well, you really have to start with a new car market, because that's the pipeline, right? That dictates what eventually comes into the recycling system.
Makes sense. So what are the trends there, production?
The source points to production. Big drop in 2020, you know, the pandemic, down to 8.8 million units.
Yeah.
It's recovered since then, 10.6 million in 2023. And it looks like it's stabilizing around 10.5, 10.6 million for 2024.
Okay, production's recovering. What about sales? People actually buying new cars?
It's a similar story. Sales actually peaked earlier, 2016. 17.5 million units, though.
17 and a half million.
Yeah. Then the pandemic dipped to 14.6 million in 2020, but they bounced back. Estimated 16 million for 2024.
Okay, sales are up from the low point, but it just feels like new cars are incredibly expensive now. Does the data show that?
Oh, absolutely. Average transaction prices, what people actually paid, they surged. Peaked near $50,000 in December 2022. $49,929.
Almost 50K for the average new car.
Yeah. It's eased off just a tiny bit. Stabilized somewhat in 2023 and 2024, but still hovering around $48,000, $49,000. Way higher than before the pandemic.
So cars are expensive. Production and sales are, let's say, okay, but not booming like before. How do other things like trade tariffs fit into this? How do they affect that aging fleet?
Yeah, the source specifically calls out trade tariffs, says they're constantly evolving, a real factor right now.
How so?
Well, the analysis suggests they're kind of doing two things. Slowing down new car buying decisions, and also just straight up raising the price.
Right.
Apparently, there was a bit of a surge in buying just before some recent hikes kicked in, people trying to beat the increase.
And the potential future impact. This information we have seems to suggest it could be pretty significant.
It does. The source anticipates that some recent auto tariffs could slap an extra $5,000 to $15,000 onto a new car's price.
$5,000 to $15,000? Just from tariffs?
That's what the analysis suggests. And the ripple effect. Potentially a big drop in new car sales, maybe 15%, 20%. What? And the direct consequence they highlight, people hold onto their cars even longer. So the average age of cars on the road just keeps going up.
Okay, right. That makes perfect sense. New cars are pricey, maybe getting pricier with tariffs. Fewer people buy them. So we keep our older cars running longer. What does that mean when things go wrong? Like collisions, repairs, getting parts?
This is where it all starts connecting, you see. Cars are older, but because overall car prices are high, their market value, their actual cash value, or ACV, has also climbed.
ACV, That's what the car is worth right before a crash, basically.
Exactly. And that number is key.
Why? How does a higher ACV affect things?
Because insurance companies decide whether to repair a car or total it based on repair costs versus that ACV. If the ACV is higher, the repair bill can be much bigger before they call it a total loss.
I see. So cars that might have been totaled a few years ago are now getting fixed instead because they're technically worth more.
Precisely. They stay on the road longer, even needing expensive fixes.
And the cost of those fixes. That's gone up too, hasn't it?
Dramatically. The source says repair costs surged 27% over the last 3 years.
27%? Why so much?
It's a mix. Higher parts prices, for one, but also cars are just more complex now. Advanced tech, sensors, computers. It takes more specialized labor, which costs more.
And just getting the parts, I hear horror stories about delays.
Oh, yeah. Super common. The data shows nearly 44% of drivers faced major repair delays just because parts weren't available. People without their car for weeks, even months sometimes.
That's rough. And tariffs. Are they hitting parts too, not just new cars?
Yes. Another key point from the source. There's a 25% tariff on imported auto parts set to take effect May 3rd, 2025.
25% on parts?
Yep. Expected to really disrupt supply chains. We're talking over 600 different types of components, engines, transmissions, electrical systems, major stuff.
So repairs get even more expensive and parts potentially harder to find.
That's the likely outcome, yeah. Increased costs, potential shortages, bad news for keeping older cars running affordably.
And it's not just international issues, right?
Yeah.
What did we see strikes affecting parts too?
We did. Labor actions, like the UAW strikes late last year, 2023, they definitely caused spikes in how long it took to get parts delivered.
Have things settled down there?
The median time got better, down to about 9.4 days by Q3 2024. But the source warns that, you know, ongoing labor disputes are still a risk, adds uncertainty to the supply chain.
Wow. Okay, so let me try and connect these dots. High new car prices, partly tariffs. People keep cars longer. Older cars are worth more, so they get repaired more often, even with expensive damage. But repairs are also more expensive because parts cost more and cars are complex. And parts are hard to get, partly due to tariffs again and supply chain issues, maybe even labor stuff.
You got it. That's the tangled web.
So how does all that turbulence ripple into the end-of-life vehicle market? The recyclers.
It's fundamentally changing that market, too. The aging fleet, regulations, technology. It's all hitting the ELV world.
And specifically, the fact that cars are lasting longer, worth more. How does that affect the supply of vehicles going into recycling?
That ACV point is crucial here. Higher ACV means fewer cars get declared total losses, like we said.
Right.
Fewer total losses means fewer vehicles feeding into the salvage pool.
Salvage pools.
Yeah.
That's where the wrecked or junk cars end up before they get dismantled.
Exactly. It's the main source for used parts and the cars that eventually get shredded for metal.
So if fewer cars go into the pool, especially maybe newer models with desirable parts,
then supply tightens and prices go up.
Prices for what?
For the salvaged vehicles themselves, and then naturally for the used parts pulled from them. So used parts could get more expensive too.
Okay. What about the basic materials once the car is shredded? The scrap metal. Are those markets affected?
Yeah, definitely relevant. The source gave some recent index trends. Ferrous scrap, that's mostly the steel and iron prices, actually dropped about 8% recently, March to April. Demand seemed weaker.
Okay. But what about other metals?
Non-ferrous. Different story. Copper was up about 3.3% in April. Big demand driver there is green tech, EVs, renewables, data centers. They need a lot of copper.
Interesting. And things like aluminum.
Aluminum and brass were more stable, maybe up slightly. Just steady industrial demand keeping them afloat.
And what's pushing these metal markets around?
Yeah.
Besides just supply and demand.
Well, tariffs on imported metals are mentioned again. Disrupting things, affecting prices. But also that whole sustainability push EVs, renewables, it boosts demand for recyclable metals like copper. It's a complex mix.
It really sounds like there's a huge focus now on getting every last bit of value out of these old cars.
Absolutely. The source really highlights North America becoming a leader in what they call the automotive circular economy.
Circular economy, meaning?
Meaning reducing the carbon footprint, you know, extending vehicle life through repair and reuse, and just being way more efficient with recovering materials at the end. Less waste, more value.
And a big part of that, looking forward, must be EVs, right?
Yeah.
Specifically their batteries. That seems like a huge challenge.
It is. A major piece of the puzzle going forward. EV battery stewardship, they call it. How do we manage these things responsibly?
Is there a clear plan?
Not entirely yet. Needs a lot more infrastructure development. The source even mentions that consumers themselves are divided on who should be responsible. The owner, the manufacturer, the government. We need clearer policies, definitely, and the physical means to collect, manage, and recycle these batteries safely and effectively.
So through all this change, market swings, tech shifts, new regulations, a group you mentioned, the ARA, the Recyclers Association, they're trying to help the industry navigate.
Yeah, they play a vital role, according to the source. Right. They're doing things like expanding their certification program to focus more on quality assurance overall. Yeah. They offer specialized training, RTI, the Automotive Recyclers Training Institute. They have a scholarship fund. They do advocacy work, talking to lawmakers and regulators. And they offer resources, mentorship, something called ARA University, trying to support their members through all this transformation.
Okay, so let's try and bring this all together for, you know, for you listening. We've talked about this huge number of older cars out there, how high new car prices, partly pushed by tariffs, are making people keep them longer.
Right, and how those same older cars are actually worth more, meaning they get repaired more, but the repairs themselves are more expensive and parts can be scarce, again, thanks partly to tariffs and supply issues.
Yeah, and how that whole dynamic affects the end-of-life vehicle market, tightening the supply of cars going into salvage, potentially raising prices for used parts, and then this bigger picture push for a circular economy, dealing with new challenges like EV batteries.
It really paints a picture of just how connected everything is, doesn't it? From the factory to the junkyard, or sorry, the recycling facility.
Yeah.
And it's all under a lot of pressure right now.
So the final thought maybe for you to consider is,
yeah,
given all this cars lasting longer, getting more complex, potentially much more expensive to fix, and the whole system for handling them at the end of life changing, what does that actually mean for you as someone who owns a car or will own one?
Yeah, what will owning a car, maintaining it, and eventually getting rid of it, what will that look like in the near future for you personally and for this whole massive system?
Something definitely worth thinking about.